Show.
Say hey, everybody, what y'all doing? How's the fight coming to the Cowboy Church with me? Hey, friends and neighbors, don't you want to know him? At the Cowboy Church, that's our specialty. Get your horse and your saddle and your whole family. I know a place that you're going to want to be. Coffee and donuts and a preaching free. If you want to have fun, come along with me. Said, hey, everybody, what y'all doing? How's about coming to the Cowboy Church with me? I'm free and I'm happy, so won't you come join me? Praising the Lord in a good old cowboy way. There's no more looking, you'll be hooked, I'm certain. How's about coming to the Cowboy Church today? You're gonna throw that bottle right over the fence. Find you a Bible for 5 or 10 cents. Keep it till it's covered with age. And you're reading the words on every page. Said, hey, everybody, what y'all doing? How's about coming to the Cowboy Church with me? I said, how's about coming to the Cowboy Church with me?
Woo! God is good all the time. Let's go to him in prayer this morning.
Your house, Lord, and hear your word. Father, we ask that you be with Brother Jeff as he brings your word this morning. Father, we just pray for those that are lost. Father, we pray for those who don't know you. Lord, we just thank you for loving us, and we thank you for your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I've got a new walk, I've got a new talk, I've got a new name, I'm not the same. The old things that I used to do, I don't want to do no more. This old boy's a new man, that's for sure. Well, it wasn't all that long ago, it just seemed like yesterday, when Jesus came into this heart of mine. Been a rapid transformation, this junkyard of a man. Just what he did, I do not understand. I've got a new walk, I've got a new talk, I've got a new name, I'm not the same. The old things that I used to do, I don't want to do no more. This old boy's a new man, that's for sure. Well, day by day, he draws me closer to his side. I'm drinking living water and new wine. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are with me all the time. Don't worry about me, friend, I'm doing fine. I've got a new walk, I've got a new talk, I've got a new name, I'm not the same. The old things that I used to do, I don't want to do no more. This old boy's a new man, that's for sure. I've got a new walk, I've got a new talk, I've got a new name, I'm not the same. The old things that I used to do, I don't want to do no more. This old boy's a new man, that's for sure. This old boy's a new man, that's for sure.
So, y'all ready? Let's worship together this morning. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and just a little light of heaven filled my soul. I begged my heart in love, and he wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our fainted cries,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
fear, a little prayer will turn in,
and you
know a little fire is burning.
You will
have a little talk with Jesus, makes it right. Sometimes my fasting grew without a roll of tears, and then it out of heaven lights of day. The myths of sin may rise and charm with stormy skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our fainting cries.
He will
answer by and by.
Now when you
hear a little prayer will turn in,
you will
know a little fire is burning,
and you'll
have a little talk with Jesus, makes it right. Hey, love on somebody this morning, would you? Richard, good to see you this morning. Megan, good to see you this morning. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faint cry.
He will
answer by and by.
Now when you
hear a little prayer will turn in,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
have a little talk with Jesus, makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our fainting cry.
He will
answer by and by.
Now when you
hear a little prayer will turn in,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
have a little talk with Jesus, makes it right. Yeah, you will have a little talk with Jesus, makes it right. Amen. Richard, what time y'all leave this morning to get here? Leave early? All right, everybody awake now? Everybody feel good? I ain't talking to you. Everybody okay? You want to sing another one? That's so. All right, let's worship together this morning. Y'all sing with me, okay? I need some help. I wonder. Y'all sure y'all ready? I thought I wasn't ready. I wondered so aimless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Yeah, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. Well, just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claim for my home. Then like a blind man, God gave back his sight. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. Y'all wave at me this morning, would you? I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. Well, I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. But now I have traded the wrong for the right. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. Shout it to the roof, would you? Yeah, praise the Lord, I saw the light. Woo, amen. Thank y'all very much. Y'all seen a deal on Facebook last night that was talking about Church of Christ people. And if you don't go to Church of Christ, you're going to go to hell. Now, look here. I don't know who put that on there, but I prayed for them. I really did. And I'm trying to be serious now. Don't be laughing. But I put on there that all of that religion stuff that you have, it's either going to blow off on the way up or it's going to burn off on the way down. And let me tell you something. It ain't about religion. It's about Jesus. And a guy asked me this week, what religion are you? I said, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. That's it. So I'm going to tell you today. Don't judge somebody else on what you believe. It's all in the Bible. That's what you need to be believing. Not what mom or dad told you. All right? So it's all about Jesus. Remember that. It's Jesus. It ain't what church you go to. Because I can go to any church anywhere in America today, and it's still going to be about Jesus. At the main, my bad. Keep playing. I told you it's in God's time. Thank you, Lord. At the mention of His name, walls crumble, lives are changed. In the midst of life's temptation, He's there to see us through. This man of which I speak is here today for you and me. His name is Jesus, but you can call Him as you please. They call Him Emmanuel, the King of all kings. He's the Son of the Father, the Prince of Peace. They call Him Hosanna, the Lighthouse at Sea. He's the Rock of Ages, and He's a friend to me. Me Many times I've called his name. Pray for forgiveness when used in vain. Oh, but there's a peace of knowing that his forgiveness stays the same. Most famous in his stories, words he spoke, the whole world still reads. His name is Jesus, but you can call him as you please. They call him Emmanuel, the King of all kings. He's the Son of the Father, the Prince of Peace. They call him Hosanna, the lighthouse at sea, the rock of ages, and he's a friend to me. They call him Hosanna, a lighthouse at sea, the rock of ages. Thank you, Lord. He's a friend to me. The rock of ages, but he's a friend to me. Thank you, Lord.
If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, as we continue our study of the model prayer. And I hope you're getting something out of the series and learning new aspects of what God means when he teaches us to pray. And a couple of weeks ago, just to recap a little bit, to kind of get us back in the mindset, we talked on the pardon within prayer, and I'm going to be carrying that out. We talked about things that forgiveness was not, right? It's not condoning an action. It's not just benefiting the guilty. It's not putting yourself back in the harm of an unhealthy person. And the reason so many of us struggle with forgiveness is because we just don't have a biblical idea of what forgiveness is. And that's why it's important for us to spend time to go back and look, what is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? And then last week, while I was out, Tommy filled in and we talked about, why does it seem that God doesn't answer our prayers? And I think one of the main things is that because many of us are unfamiliar with the voice of God. John 10, Jesus said, I'm the great shepherd. The sheep know my voice. And let me just say, if you're not a regular student in God's word, you will not know the voice of God. And everybody in here should have said amen to that. Because God gets blamed. My granddaddy used to say this, and I wrote a song about it years ago. God gets blamed for a lot of things that God doesn't do. Because people go, I feel this. No, God works through his word. That's why we call it his word and not the feeling of God, right? If you are not in God's word, you cannot know God's voice. I'm going to say that again. If you do not know God's word, you cannot know God's voice. If you don't take anything away from today, I hope you take that away, right? Because there's a lot of times people come up and go, I think God is leading me in this direction. I think God is saying this to me. Do you know how you can know if that's true or not? By matching it with Scripture, right? And here's why that's the case. Because truth hasn't changed and the human heart hasn't changed. The same, believe this or not, the same dilemmas that we face today, people in the ancient world faced as well. Right? There's no new news. It's just old news packaged in a new way, right? And with a little more advertisement through the internet and Fox and CNN, right? And one of the main things that we don't realize is that we think God answers prayers always in the form of yes. And let me just say this. God always answers our prayers. And God is always right in how he answers our prayers. But sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says not now. And that really stirs our blood, doesn't it? Because it pushes against our own desire to be God when God says, hey, no, not now. Makes us have to shape our own need for patience in our life. Anybody in here praying for patience? All right? And we always go, don't pray for patience. But really, that's an unbiblical idea as well. We need to pray for patience because you know what the first characteristic of love is? Patience. So when you don't pray for patience, you're praying to be an unloving person. Or you're desiring to live as an unloving person because patience is the first characteristic of a loving person. So moving back into what we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about the command of forgiveness. As a believer, we are not suggested to be forgivers. We are commanded by the authority of God to forgive. And many of us will go, I don't like that. Sorry about your bad luck. Right? Tough. You do have a choice. You can become an apostate and say, forget the faith. But if you want to follow Christ, you are commanded to forgive. Well, that doesn't always feel good. I don't like that. Again, sorry about your bad luck. Right? Because I love what the first chapter, there's a great devotional that Rick Warren wrote years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. Anybody ever heard of that? And I love what, I think that maybe the editors maybe retitled the first chapter, but in the original version, the first chapter, you know what it said? It's not about you. And when we come to realize that life does not revolve around us, then we'll be a whole lot better and more joyful in our walk with Christ. But most of us are frustrated because our, quote, deity is bumping up against his. And we're not God, amen? So let's look at our text again, and I want us to read it out loud as we've been doing so that hopefully by the end of the series that we can be able to quote it in our minds. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everyone said, amen. We talked about this command of forgiveness, and let me revisit that for just a second. Do you struggle with forgiveness? And when I mean that, do you struggle with giving forgiveness? And do you also struggle with receiving forgiveness? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like, I get it, God, it's way easier for me to accept that you have forgiven those out there. But when I begin to do an inventory of my own heart, I kind of struggle sometimes with going, wow, you've forgiven me. Anybody been there? Anybody done that? Yeah. If you haven't, you may not know the depth of your own heart, right? Because I don't know a finesse way to say this, but every one of us every now and then need to be downwind of ourselves, right? We're a smelly lot, right? We all need to be a little downwind of ourselves because sometimes we think our perfume is sweet as roses, but it's not. Right? Because we have a deceptive heart, so says the prophet Jeremiah. Martin Luther says forgiveness is God's command. So this morning I want to move to the second point in your notes. Christianity, what is Christianity? It is simply this, a community of forgiveness. Yet the oxymoron is how many Christians don't want to forgive, but they want to be called a Christian, which means being in a community of forgiveness. Does that seem a little odd? How many of us Christians refuse to forgive? How many of us right now, we can, in our hearts and our minds, we know there are people in our lives that we need to forgive? We know we need to forgive, but we put our foot down and we said, I'm not going to do it, because our pride gets in the way, but yet we want to come and participate in a worship service that's within a community established by forgiveness. Does that seem odd to you, or is it just me? You see? We are commanded to forgive because God established his church through the door of forgiveness. You are not a believer. You are not a follower of Jesus. You yourself are not a Christian unless, what? You've asked the Lord to, what? Forgive you. To cleanse you. Based on the grace of Jesus. Now, there is a basic assumption that we almost remember that to follow Christ, one is willing to forgive others because of one's own forgiveness. We're going to talk more about that in a second. Basic hypocrisy, and one quickly to be identified as a Pharisee, is one who wants forgiveness but is unwilling to forgive. How many of us live that way? God, give us what we want, but we're not willing to share it with others. And more than anything else that we can give, more than money, more than time, more than anything, we need to be giving forgiveness. Because we, as a follower of Jesus, have been forgiven. Well, Jeff, that makes me not feel so good. Okay. Yeah. Duh. Right? I don't think that it made Christ feel so good when he was having spikes in his hands and his feet and a spear in his side. What if the Holy Father and the Holy Son and the Holy Spirit said, you know what, we would really love to forgive humanity and give them a do-over, but it's sure going to hurt, and we're not into that. We have bought in to the fluff and stuff, and let me just pause for a second, and I'm going to chase an intentional rabbit. We hear the gospel, health, wealth, and happiness, right? And we see them as kind of that group over there. There's so much of it in American Christianity, period. Because we have had it so good that we have forgotten that to be a Christian invites struggle. Now, I didn't expect a whole lot of amens, but thank you. Right? To be a Christian invites struggle. If you are a follower of Jesus, it's saying, guess what? I'm standing up and I'm going against the flow of the world, and I'm inviting Satan to attack. But we have bought in that everything's supposed to be rosy. Have we not forgotten the story of Job? Are we so unfamiliar with our Bibles that we have forgotten the struggles of the prophets in the Old Testament? Are we so unfamiliar with the early church history that we've forgotten that only one out of the original 12, we know that Judas hung himself, but only John, the Apostle John, is to believe to have died of old age? Everyone else was martyred. So why in the world do we believe that somehow Christianity has changed, or the world has changed, its approach to Christian faith? To be a follower of Jesus is a struggle. And sometimes that's external struggle, right? We call that persecution. But sometimes it's an internal struggle. And I would say most of the time it's that, because it's letting go or maybe reclaiming areas in our heart that should be God's that we've let Satan have for long enough. And one of those areas that Satan has held on to most of our hearts is in the area of being unwilling to forgive. Because to be a believer is to say, I'm willing to live within the community of forgiveness. To not be willing to truly forgive from your heart is a sign that you are not in fellowship with Christ. So you can come to church and, man, you can raise hands and you can have a holy hallelujah time. But if you know that you need to forgive and you haven't forgiven, you're not in fellowship with Jesus. You can quote all the verses in the Bible. You can sing every hymn in the book. You can get swept away in emotion. But if you have not forgiven someone from your heart, you're not in fellowship with Christ. And for some, it may be a deeper revelation that you're not in relationship with Christ. Because forgiveness is key to being a follower of Christ. Now, I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. I'm not saying that it's one of those things we just twitch our nose like Bewitched years ago. But it is something that we need to be intentionally walking towards. Amen? But if you're not willing to forgive and you're like, uh-uh, not going there, not doing it, it's a sure sign you're not in fellowship with Christ, but it may be a deeper sign that you're not even in relationship with Jesus. That stings a little bit, doesn't it? Because we are called to be forgivers. Forgiveness is the reason we Christians even exist. We are a community who has received forgiveness, now willing to give forgiveness. We are called and commanded in this community not only to forgive others, but that would also include ourselves. How many of us in our own hearts have held our heart captive and we sabotage ourselves from growing in grace because we won't allow forgiveness to come to us? We say, okay, God, I believe you've forgiven me, and I believe that the person I wronged out there has forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. Anybody struggle with self-forgiveness? Listen to what C.S. Lewis says. I think that if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Otherwise, it is almost like setting up ourselves as a higher tribunal than he. Does that make sense? If you're not willing to forgive yourself, then you're saying, God, my authority trumps your authority. So when people and myself have struggled with self-forgiveness, even if we don't know this, what we're living in is arrogance. Because we're telling God, my ways are higher than your ways. And God says, no, my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So let me ask you. If I were to say, not going to say this, not putting anybody on the spot, but anybody struggle with self-forgiveness presently, we'd have to also admit at the same time we're holding on in our arrogance to whose authority outweighs who. Does that make sense? And I think everybody in here can raise their hand and say, you know what? Either right now or at times of my life, I've struggled with self-forgiveness. I don't think there's a person in here, if you're truly honest and know your heart, say that they have never struggled with that. And here's why. One, because we're living in arrogance, thinking that our ways are higher than God's ways, but we're also living based on a feeling, not in the fact. Does that make sense? Let me put it to you this way. Anybody ever doubted your salvation? That you've committed some sin that maybe you never thought you would commit? You know, those things, I would never do that, and uh-oh, you did. I'm going to confess, I got plenty of those right in my resume. And guess what? Sometimes the shame and the guilt of committing such a sin, you can go, do I even know Jesus? Do I even know him? Has he really saved me? And I love what 1 John 5:12 says and 13. I'm going to read it for you. Because this is way deeper than an emotional thing. But so many of us live in our relationship based purely in emotion. That's nuts. Because our emotions ebb and flow. They change. Listen to what 1 John 5:12 says. The one who has the Son has life. The one who doesn't have the Son of God does not have life. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that being who? Who's that? Jesus. Glad nobody said Judas or anything like that. Just making sure. Jesus. So that you may know that you have eternal life. Notice the scripture doesn't say so that you may feel. Because God's truth is deeper than our feelings. And sadly, I think some people are going to feel like they're saved and may actually be lost, and there are going to be some who feel lost who are actually saved. Think on that for a bit. We have that name it and claim it, that health, wealth, and all that stuff, and then we go, oh, those weirdos, that's part of those Christian groups, that's just weird. But how many of us have lived the same way? Maybe not at that level, but everything's about kind of the prosperity. Oh, God's blessed. God blessed you when he saved you. Right? And the person who has millions in the bank is no more blessed than the person who has nothing in the bank if they know Jesus. But we have attached blessings to be material things, and God has blessed us based on what he's done on that cross. Amen? We are called to be a community of forgiveness, not only to forgive others, but that also includes ourselves. There is a joy and a celebration in receiving grace. Jeremiah 31, 34 says this, they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Now, we've taken that as, okay, so I'm to forgive and forget, right? Well, I don't know anybody who can forget an injustice. I just don't know that person. Never met that person. Right? So how do we know when we've forgiven? The Lord gives us this metaphor, right? Here's how we know we've truly forgiven someone. When we see them as God sees them and no longer sees them as the wrongdoer they may have been to us. That's when we know we've forgiven them. That event, that injustice that they've done no longer dictates our relationship. And it no longer dictates our lives. Does that make sense? So when we can look at someone and no longer see the first thought, we may remember as we dig in there, I'll go, yeah, they did me wrong way back then. But the first thing that I see about someone is not the injustice that they've done. Now I'm starting to learn the new perspective of forgiveness. I see them as a person created in God's image. Hopefully, as a fellow brother and sister in the faith. But if I look at someone, if I continue to look at them, and the first thing I see is, you know what, they did me wrong. You haven't forgiven. You can say all that all day long. Well, I've forgiven them. No, you haven't. Because it still dictates how you see them. Does that make sense? And also, it keeps a door open for Satan to grow that gangrene. Does that make sense? Because what happens? We see that person, and we immediately go back, and all those feelings jump up, and all those thoughts jump up, and then we go, oh, but I've forgiven. And then all of a sudden, how does Satan bring it back to our mind? Bring it back to our mind. Bring it back to our mind. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? We must be willing to forgive. Whether we understand it all or not, and here's the base thing that we're going to talk about next week. We must be willing to forgive because Christ was willing to forgive us. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, you haven't been sinned against half again so much as you have sinned and I have sinned against God. And if God is willing to forgive us, who are we not willing to forgive others, even ourselves? Look with me in 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Look with me, starting in verse 5. Now this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. Let me just pause for a second. That metaphor that God is light says that he is going to illuminate the dark places in our life, right? He illuminates dark places. He sheds light on the fact. How many of us this morning need God to shed light on our heart to show us those areas we've been unwilling to forgive and let go? Because again, the only person unforgiveness hurts is who? The person unwilling to forgive. And I gave the example a couple of weeks ago that if I've got a ball and chain from one relationship because I'm holding on, and I got a ball and chain from another relationship that I'm holding on, all of a sudden life becomes a struggle, doesn't it? And what forgiveness is saying is not that, okay, I agree with you now. I condone what you did, because God never condones sin, but he forgives. But forgiveness is the key. We're going to talk about this a little bit more next week. It's the key that sets us free so that we don't have to carry the ball and chain around. It cuts the emotional attachment to an event that's creating bitterness in our hearts. Are you getting a new idea of what forgiveness really is? It comes with a level of surrender that most Christians aren't accustomed to. That's the reality. It comes from a level of surrender that most Christians are not accustomed to. He goes on to say, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is what? Not in us. We're just a bag of liars. And the thing of it is, before we come to being willing to forgive others, we need to first step back into the flowing waters of grace and see how Christ forgave us of what we've done. Now it says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All right, so I just want to walk through this in closing. If you'll break that phrase down, if we confess our sins, that verse down, it's an if then, right? If we confess our sins, then, implied then, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who's doing more in that verse, us or God? God by far, right? But we can't get the then part if we don't step into the if part. Does that make sense? Now, the word confession comes from two Greek words, homo logos, which literally means the same agreement as. See, it could literally be translated, if we come to the same agreement as with God about our sins. Right? Then, he is faithful and just. That's based in his authority. That little clause right there wouldn't have to be put in there. It's about God, isn't it? He is faithful and just. That means, what does the word faithful mean? He shows up when he has every reason not to. That's what the word faithful means. He shows up when he has every reason not to, and he's just. He is the absolute final say of justice. To what? Cleanse us of our sins, to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us. Notice that it's not just forgive and he leaves. There's another little added segment, and to cleanse us. Because when we sin, we all feel what? Dirty. We all feel dirty. I remember being baptized, and I remember the cleanest I've ever felt was coming out of the baptismal water. Knowing that symbolism of being completely forgiven by Christ. Do you have that this morning? Do you have that in your life this morning? If not, man, I want to introduce you to him. And it says this, to forgive us and to cleanse us from what? What's it say right there? What's the next word? All. All right, so I'm not going to try to insult anybody's intelligence, but what does the word all mean? What would it not include? Ah. So anybody in here struggle with a sin that you've done that you feel like God could forgive you of the white lies, but maybe not of adultery? Because we want to categorize our sin. Now I'm going to jump ahead and use a quote that I will next week. N.T. Wright says this, from God's point of view, the distance between being ordinarily sinful, what we all are, and extremely sinful, what the people we don't like seem to be, is like the distance between London, England, and Paris, France, seen from the point of view of the sun. I mean, think about this. We'll call Hitler extremely sinful, and we'll use a figure, say, like Mother Teresa, right? But if you were to put a business card at the bottom of the Empire State Building, the bottom of that card may represent Hitler, and the top of that card may represent Mother Teresa, but Jesus is at the top of the tower. And guess what? Most of us are somewhere between the two on the card. Do you get a better perspective of what God is willing to forgive in you, which should motivate us to be willing to forgive in others? You see? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But how many Christians have I counseled with, and how many times have in my past have I struggled where Satan uses a sin against me because I'm not willing to forgive myself and live in the freedom that God provides. And it robs us of the joy. Anybody there today? God is willing to forgive, and in that, we should be willing to forgive. Amen? What does it say? As we pray, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. There is an assumption in that line, as the man or woman of prayer goes before the Lord, asking God to forgive their debts, because they've already forgiven their debtors, because they know the power of His forgiveness. And may we know that today. Amen? Let's close with prayer. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for today, and we thank you, Lord, for just not only your forgiveness, but, Lord, the power that you give us in that forgiveness to forgive others. Help us truly be a community of forgiveness. And, Lord, as we next week discuss the connection between being forgiven to being one who's willing to forgive, I pray for our whole universal church that's around the world. May we be known for people of forgiveness. Lord, we are known for a lot of things that are not representative of you. But help us be known, Lord, to be a community of forgiveness, living out the forgiveness you've given us and willing to give it to others so that they may experience that forgiveness themselves. And we ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week.